In the years that David served in the court of King Saul, he was often attacked by those who flattered the king, and while at the same time they were telling lies about David. And eventually King Saul really began to believe that David was trying to steal the throne of Israel from him. And Psalm 5 shows David coming to the Lord in the morning, morning by morning, seeking the strength and the joy that he needed to make it through the day, in spite of the many, many adversaries and difficulties he was facing and the things that they were doing that made his life difficult. So David's prayer in this psalm is an example for us to follow. Psalm 5. To the chief musician upon Nehiloth, a psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face, for there's no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsel. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou hast defended them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee, for thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favour wilt thou compass him as with a shield. David's first petition is, hear me. This is David's approach to God, verses 1 to 3. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. We sense David's longing for an audience with God, to the extent that, you know, using that Hebrew method of poetic parallelism, he repeats here the same idea three times, effectively saying, Lord, please listen to me. And he says, for unto thee will I pray. Now, David prayed to God. Now, that might sound a bit obvious, but if we stop and think for a moment, we often approach prayer with our list of concerns already prepared, things that, quite rightly, may be lying heavy on our hearts and in our minds. But we can become so preoccupied with these things that we fail to consciously focus on God and to seek to sense his presence. David was a great man of prayer because his prayer time was focused on God more than it was upon the things that he was bringing to God. He says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. David made it a point to pray in the morning, and he did this no doubt because he wanted to honour God at the beginning of the day, and this then would set the tone for an entire day that was dedicated unto God. He says, in the morning I will direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. David here provides some useful guidance on what to do before prayer and after prayer. Before we pray, we should direct our prayer. And after we've prayed, we should look up with expectancy to heaven, believing that God will answer our prayers. David's second petition is, lead me, verses 4 to 8. And we have here the contrast between the wicked and the godly. The wicked, verses 4 to 6, we're told, for thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. David thought about the righteous character of God. What people do in the sight of God really matters, because the Lord God hates all iniquity and all workers of iniquity. But then we have the godly, verses 7 and 8. David says, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. It wasn't that David thought that he was righteous in some way and that all the others were just horrible sinners. David's ground of confidence was not in his own righteousness, but in the mercy of God. And nor was David's worship based upon his feelings, but rather we learn that it was based upon his reverential fear of the righteous and merciful God. David prays, make your way straight before my face. You know, a word which also reflects David's constant reliance on God. He needed God to lead him, and he needed God to make the way straight. David would walk the right way, but he would do so in a humble way. He would be humble about it. He knew that it was God's power alone and God's work alone within him that kept him from the way of the wicked. And then David's third petition, verses 9 to 10, is, protect me. And here we have the destiny in the first place of the wicked. For there's no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. There's no faithfulness in their mouth. You know, David focused on what the wicked say, because what they say is evidence of their wickedness. And David is illustrating what the Lord Jesus later made plain, speaking to the Pharisees, when he said in Matthew 12:34, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. You know, wickedness will sooner or later show up in what a person says. David puts it like this, they flatter with their tongue. Spurgeon says, always beware of people who flatter you. And especially when they tell you that they do not flatter you, and that they know you cannot endure flattery, for you then being most fulsomely flattered. So be on your guard against the tongue of the flatterer. And David wasn't fooled, and that's why he prayed, let them fall by their own counsels. David knew that the wicked would eventually come to their deserved end, as do all that rebel against God. And David's fourth petition in verses 11 and 12 is bless me. And here we have the destiny of the righteous, verse 11 and 12. But let all those that put their trust in thee, let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favour wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. The righteous aren't made righteous by their deeds or their words. The righteous are those who trust the Lord, those who love his name. But their righteousness is evident in their works all the same. They rejoice, they shout for joy, and they are joyful in the Lord. Now, the believer's greatest blessing is the favour of God, knowing that God looks on his children with favour and takes pleasure in them. You know, that's the greatest knowledge in the world. This is our standing in grace. And David speaks of the Lord as a shield. A shield doesn't protect any one particular area of the body. It's generally a large piece of armour, mobile enough to cover every area of the body. It's a piece of armour that covers the other armour, if you like. And this is how the favour of God serves to protect us. There's an anecdote about Luther when he was facing the anger of the Roman Catholic Church. He was being hauled up before some cardinal to answer for his heresies, so-called. And one of the cardinal's servants, when he got there, was taunting him, saying, "Where will you shelter if your patron, the Elector of Saxony, should desert you?" Apparently Luther's reply was, I'll find it under the shelter of heaven." So, in conclusion, and to make some thoughts of application, whenever we find ourselves or our fellowship being misrepresented or even lied about, David's prayer in Psalm 5 is an example for us to follow as he asked the Lord in the face of all the lies that were being told about him, he asked the Lord to hear me. David began the day with his heart lifted up to God, and the Lord was fully aware of the words of David's slanderers, but he heard and he received the believing prayers of his servant. David's prayer in the face of all the suspicion surrounding him was, "Lord, lead me." David had to be careful because King Saul and his cohorts were watching his every move. So David worshipped the Lord and asked for his daily direction. David's prayer in the face of all the danger that was surrounding him was, "Lord, protect me." David didn't seek to fight or take up arms against Saul and his men. Instead, he left those battles to the Lord, and he trusted the Lord to care for him, and the Lord did not fail David. And finally, having prayed that the Lord would hear and lead and protect him, there was yet one more thing that David desired above and beyond all his immediate concerns. And so he prayed, "Lord, bless me." Confident that his prayers had been heard, David desired above all to be blessed with joy, with confidence, and with a deeper sense of the love of God, both within his own heart and the certainty of that was directed toward him from God himself. "For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favour wilt thou compass him as with a shield." Well, if by the grace of God and through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are counted among the righteous, then our ground of expectation is the same as David's, for God himself and his immutable character are the foundation and surety of all our hopes. Amen.